Welcome to the podcast. Welcome in. This is Black on Black on Black, and you are here with DJ Queen Anne.
D-Fantastic!
Wasn't there an Arsenio Hall song?
Maybe, nigga. I don't know the fuck about Arsenio Hall like that. That nigga's not on my radar, like, at all.
To America?
Sure. Right.
That's crazy.
I mean, I love Coming to America, obviously, but I did not think about Arsenio Hall.
That's crazy.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, what's the last time you thought about Arsenio Hall, besides right now?
Last week.
About what?
I mean, he comes up randomly in my feed all the time with, like, different interviews that he's actually done.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. About different interviews that he's actually done, and so, I you know, every once in a while, like, I kind of wonder if Arsenio Hall was a little, was down low.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing about him that makes me say, oh, no, no way. Come on.
Yeah. You know? Just like, you know.
But at the same time, is that me just being homophobic a little bit, you know?
No, I mean, that's my queer radar going off.
Okay. I feel like because you are a queer individual, you can say that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure. Maybe all of us in this room could say that.
There's only two of us right now, so
okay.
There's only one queer individual. Anyway, so moving on.
And
if this is your first time listening to, actually, fuck this. You do the intro.
If you were going into it, if this is your first time listening to Black on Black on Black,
mm-hmm.
Let me give you a little bit of deets about the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this show involves a Bay Area native. Yeah. And a transfer for the South Explorer, the real San Francisco lingerie area, finding scenes, creating memes, and being obscene.
Wow, we skipped over the South like nobody.
Listen
business.
To this show to find out what's going on in the city.
We skipped
where
over
to
the South.
Find it and learn about the local artists who make it all happen here in the what? Bay Area.
We skipped over the South.
No, we didn't. I said
like,
the South.
No. But we always like, I like to pause. And
I said the South.
Let them niggas know the D-Fantastic is from what? The South. H-Town, holding it down all the way. You know what I'm talking about? Anyways.
Bro, y'all ain't got no home training.
You're right. We don't at all.
Just how we just that dog in you. Oh,
always.
Okay. Anyways, well. So we are here
ain't
every Monday.
Dog in me. Why must I be like that? Why must I?
Right, come on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, all right.
In case you stumbled upon this and you're like, what is this? How often does this happen? We are here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. with the shenanigans, and we do shenan again.
Yes, absolutely. So, we're going to get into some black dates. We always provide updates within important for the black community and beyond. And then we're going to get into Would You Rather. But this episode, after all the initial stuff, is, you know, last week we did nothing but bad news.
And yeah, it was pretty
intense.
Yeah.
And so, considering it's Mental Health Awareness Month, the rest of our conversation is actually going to be nothing but good fucking news. So, I hope y'all are ready for that. I'm excited about that. We all need to hear that shit. But anyways, we'll start off with black dates, which unfortunately involves bad news.
Mm-hmm.
So, after
all of that, I'm like, and let's get into this mud.
Exactly. So, Pooh Shiesty has pled not guilty to federal robbery and kidnapping charges stemming from an alleged incident in Dallas. So the rapper was arraigned Friday in federal court in Dallas, Texas, where he denied all charges, according to his attorney, Kent Schaefer. Shiesty, his father, Big 30, and six other men have been accused of luring Gucci Mane and a few other individuals to a Dallas recording studio and robbing them at gunpoint on January 10th. In addition, Shiesty allegedly forced Gucci Mane to release him from a record contract with Gucci's label while holding the rapper at gunpoint and making him sign paperwork. Big 30 blocked a nearby door, preventing escape, and several other individuals allegedly stole from the rapper and others. Shiesty and his co-conspirators could be facing life in prison for their roles in the alleged incident. Honestly, the funniest thing about this is Gucci Mane's involvement.
I know. Honestly, I was like, Gucci Mane? Why?
Shout out to my nigga Gucci. That's all I could think about.
I was like, old Gucci Man doing it is living with his Jamaican wife who was taking care of him even though he has schizophrenia.
Right.
Like, what's happening?
It's crazy. It's insane. And honestly, low-key hilarious. I know it's not funny. It is funny. It's funny because no one really got hurt, you know? The thought of it all happening is very amusing to me. So, anyways, yeah.
Well, just like, how could they expect to get away with this?
No fucking idea. The stupidity. Y'all robbed, y'all held an extremely popular rapper at gunpoint with six other witnesses. You might as well shot them all.
And it's not like they stole, you know, random things. They're asking for very specific things that obviously tell you it don't matter if they're wearing a mask or not.
Right.
Like, it's like you asking to get let out of a contract? Like, why would a random nigga break in here?
Right.
Other than the nigga whose contract it is.
Right. Like, what's happening? They had no mask. It was just them.
Like, what are we doing? Like, drugs had to be involved.
Well, honestly,
like, I'm sorry. This sounded like some random, they were somewhere
smoking and drinking. Yep.
And they were like, you know what? Let's roll over to ending. I know where he at right now.
Right.
Like,
right.
Let's roll over
honestly,
right now.
Honestly, it's hood nigga behavior.
Because you're not a hood nigga no more.
No.
Well, I've heard Pooh Shiesty.
Right. Like, honestly, if it was just been Pooh Shiesty and other hood niggas, maybe they would have got away with it. But it's motherfucking Gucci Mane.
That's crazy.
Gucci Mane's literally probably left and was like, I'm calling the police right now.
Immediately.
Right.
I'm going to call my wife who is going to call the police right now.
Exactly. So, like, anyways, craziness.
Hey, he's snitching. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Like, astounding.
He's at that level of, like, rappers will understand he does not go by hood nigga code.
No.
He will call
most
the, he's
people
call
when
the
they get to that point are no longer. Right. Because everybody else gets fucking caught. Look at Bobby Shmurda. That nigga went to jail.
Like,
why? Hmm. Because when you get past a certain point, you're no longer on hood nigga shenanigans. You can try, but yeah.
Go sit your ass down
somewhere. Right.
Like, what is happening?
Hilarious. Hilarious. And this is why people who wear Pooh Shiesty's mask already give me the heebs.
So, I honestly had to look him up and be like, oh, huh.
Yeah, that nigga. That nigga made wearing Pooh Shiesty's, a.k.a. Balaclavas. Made balaclavas popular amongst the youth, aka young niggas.
That's stupid.
I know, it's very dumb. YNs, you wearing Pooh Shiesty's, you're also gonna be like Pooh Shiesty and go to jail.
I'm
for life.
Imagine showing up somewhere like this.
It's embarrassing.
Because what are we doing?
It's embarrassing. Anyways.
Do your family would you do this? Do they wear this?
Who family? Wear Pooh Shiesty mask?
Yeah.
AKA balaclavas?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, right.
My nephew tried to get away with it.
And my sister
shut that shit down.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we're not doing this.
We are not YNs,
my friend.
Like
that's crazy.
No.
And on some real shit, like, by wearing that and hiding your identity, like, A, people are going to be probably frightened of you to begin with. B, you may get fucking slimed out because somebody may think you're somebody else.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like,
I'm not trying to get my shit aired out because you think I'm some other bitch of blue hair. No. No. I'm me. My gangster days are over. Anyways.
Talking about wearing, like, looking like you just came from a crime activities here.
Exactly. Just dumb shit. Anyways, on Thursday, Governor Bill Lee signed into law Tennessee's new congressional district map. This will now redraw Shelby County into three Republican-controlled districts, breaking apart the state's only majority black district, which is primarily located in Memphis. I'm sorry. The Queen just showed me a photo of a Pooh Shiesty that's actually in the shape of Winnie the Pooh, and I can't handle it.
And you know what? It's kind of cute.
It is very cute. It's very cute.
It kind of eat. Don't know who's hair fitting underneath this shit, but you know what? The Winnie the Pooh one is cute.
It is, but again, anyways, as a result, the NAACP Tennessee State Conference has filed a lawsuit to block the state's attempt. NAACP General Counsel Kristen Clark said, quote, "We're outraged at the state, rather than seeking a more just and fair system, is seeking to roll Tennessee back to a time when many of us didn't have equal rights.
Yeah,
we'll fight this map tooth and nail." Thursday's vote was met with protests inside the Tennessee Capitol. Under the new map, the state's current 9th conditional congressional district represented by Democratic Representative Steve Cohen will be split. This move could allow the Republicans to flip the state's lone Democratic-held seat. On Friday, the Virginia Supreme Court blocked a voter-approved Democratic congressional map. According to AP News, the court ruled 4-3 that Democratic lawmakers, quote, violated procedural requirements when it placed the constitutional amendment on the ballot to authorize the mid-decade redistricting. Mm-hmm. This move keeps Republicans at an advantage as the midterm elections approach. Democrats were looking for the map to grant the party 4 new House seats. Both decisions come on the heels of the Supreme Court striking down Louisiana's second majority black congressional district and the Louisiana v. Cali case late last month, which limits the Voting Rights Act. So, not
I mean,
good.
These are all of the moves leading up to, like, the
pure fascism.
Yeah. It's like, these are the things where fascism wins. It's like redistricting the, like, this is how you can have fascism and still have a vote, per se, mm-hmm. and make it look legitimate. It's like stuff like this where you're redrawing the lines in order to favor white supremacy or fascism in general. Yep. And so that these are the kind of things you actually do need to pay attention to, and they should be. I've been seeing videos of that, of them. Did you see that video of homeboy in Tennessee where like one of the officers went to go put his hand on him? He's like, get the fuck off of me.
Yeah.
It's just blatant. It's such a blatant fascist attack that like I don't.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And I think because times are so hard right now, this would be, in terms of from a strategy perspective, this is the time when it would happen, right? Because like people are overworked, underpaid, are just straight up jobless, and therefore are like, people are just barely surviving.
So exhausted, yeah.
And just don't have the capacity to be checking in on these things and be present about these things.
I mean, that's one thing that I love about our show is that we are able to just allow people to tune in and just check in on this shit, right? Like, as much as we can. I mean, honestly, the news goes on and on and on, so we try to be selective into what we tell people, but I mean, it's hard. It's really, really, really fucking hard. The last thing is that yes, it does fall under black dates, you know, whatever.
Read into that how you will, but keep going.
Read into it, but okay. The U.S. State Department says it will begin revoking the passports of parents who owe significant unpaid child support starting Friday. According to AP News, the first wave will target about 2,700 Americans who owe $100,000 or more.
Crazy.
Officials also revealed the program will soon expand to include anyone owing more than $2,500 in unpaid child support. Reports state that the threshold set by 1996 law has rarely been enforced. Up until now, the penalty mainly affected people trying to renew their passports. Still, under the new policy, passports can now be revoked altogether once the Department of Health and Human Services reports overdue payments to the State Department. It is unclear how many passport holders owe more than $2,500 because HHS is still collecting data from state agencies that track the figure. However, officials said it could encompass many more thousands of people. Assistant Secretary of State for Consular Affairs Mona Namdar said, quote, we are expanding a common sense practice that has been proven effective at getting those who owe child support to pay their debt. Once these parents resolve their debts, they can once again enjoy the privilege of a U.S. passport, end quote.
I'm just gonna say this, like, people who do not pay child support, I don't know how many of the niggas actually have passports. Like, I don't know if this is the most effective, like, this is not, to me, it's not casting a wide net, but, like, sure... I'm just like, wow, they're really going to be like, no, you got to stay in the house.
Right.
You got to stay in the house.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I know this seems crazy, and this is going to my conspiracy brain. The less people are able to afford anything, the less that they're able to make, considering the job loss and kind of the workforce stagnation. Could this somehow be a tie into newer laws to keep American citizens from staying versus just leaving entirely?
I think so. I was trying to make that connection too. Like, is this an effort to keep people? Because right now we're in a record high of people who are just leaving the United States.
And I mean,
because there's not enough jobs here.
Yeah.
And people are not experiencing economic growth or stability here.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, that's interesting in terms of, like, if the tactic is to keep money here, then I can see why this approach is being implemented.
Right.
If you owe more than $100,000 in child support, you need to be giving out, like, you need to...
No, I mean, of course. Of course.
What else are you not paying for? Right. What exactly, else are you exactly. not really
I mean,
paying?
I mean, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, you know, fucking pay your child support. Like, what the fuck? But, of course, my conspiracy brain is like, I don't think the government actually gives a fuck about the child support. I think this is more about, like, keeping your worker bees here and staying and suffering regardless.
It could be a poke and prod to see what kind of tactics can the government employ to restrict the movement of its citizens, period.
Right.
So they could be exploring all types of avenues, and this is just one.
Right.
Because what I was thinking is, like, what I could see it is going to, like, okay, for folks who haven't paid taxes, folks who have any sort of driving, like, you know, like, right. Could it be a slippery slope?
Yes.
Where all of a sudden they have a number of things that they have on a list.
Exactly.
Of then revoking your passport for.
Right.
That could be used that, let's say that if you are someone who is leading a political uprising, who is like some sort of a protester or a activist, they look up a myriad of things on this list and be like, oh yeah, I'm taking your passport.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so you can't, escape.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Like, I desperately want people to, who owe child support, to absolutely, like, pay. Like,
yeah, but paying your passport ain't gonna get you to pay.
Right. So it feels just a little funky to me.
It does. That's why I was strange. Like, this.
Like, my gut reaction is kind of like, okay, but what else? Because, again, if people are fine with this, right, no one's fighting this. Because, of course, that's how it goes. They win you in on other things. Like, yes, you want people to take care of children. Then it leads into, well, you know, we need to take care of our roads. Anyone who owes taxes, they can't travel. Like, restricting travel in general always makes you feel a little weird.
Yeah, something about this seems a little unconstitutional. But I would have to dig deep into the Constitution to, like, to think about it. But something about this does feel unconstitutional.
It feels a little strange.
It feels strange. It feels like, it feels like it can get into a place of slippery slope in terms of, okay, then what types of things? Because, I mean, while child support is an incredible moral crime, I don't think it's a crime in general. I don't think it's classified technically as a crime. Like, can you be put in jail?
Yeah, you can.
For, like, when does it become... You can't be put in... What's the charge?
Jail. Honestly, I think it's just... Ugh, I can't remember what the actual charge is. I'll have to look.
Yeah.
But it is criminal.
Yeah.
It is criminal.
Because it'd be one thing if they say that, like, those who have this crime listed on their... on their thing, you can take their passport.
Right.
But even then, that becomes a slippery slope because you could... Hi. Like, you could, like,
Thank you. But yes, that you can, that you can absolutely, be affected by. So I'm very curious about it. And it's just something for us to watch. You know?
I think so. Like, yeah, I think so. Cause, I'm definitely someone who wants to, like, leave the country eventually.
Exactly.
And so I ain't trying to have this, like, impede those dreams of mine.
Right. Because you definitely owe child support.
This is why I have no kids.
How many babies just thrown out into the wind?
This is why.
So anyways, let's get into it. We'll get into our first Would You Rather. And it's a positive Would You Rather because...
Wow.
Yeah, we're doing positive stuff today.
Wow.
Except for that little bit.
That never happens to me. Go ahead.
I know. Okay, so would you rather have unlimited access to money? And you have it. And you can decide how you want that to play out with the rest of your family.
Okay.
But it's mainly you, right? Okay. Yeah. You know, right? Or you will for sure, like, die healthy. Or, you'll live a long life and you'll only die of old age and you'll be healthy until the very end.
Okay. Do other people know I have unlimited access to money?
I mean, you're going to start showing it somehow.
No.
And I was going to say your descendants, but you won't have any. So, same thing with your direct descendants with the long life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's not important to you.
I mean, if I have unlimited access to money, I might just go ahead and pop out some kids.
Are you fucking crazy?
Well, like, I feel like that's such a resource that I would want to stay. If it's passed down through lineage, I feel like that is such a resource I would want to keep in my family. Now I would feel a due burden to have a child. Like, I would. If I had unlimited access to money, that's an incredible thing just to give us.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so people don't, like know this, like. Like immediately, explicitly, it's like there's signs in my life though that I have money.
Right.
Great. Okay. That's there can be signs in my life that I have money versus people knowing that I have an unlimited. Those are two different things.
Sure.
That's how you get assassinated. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You get assassinated.
Right. Yeah.
I also don't need nobody like poking holes in condoms and stuff like that. Me, I'm
Jesus
like,
Christ.
I'm gonna trap this bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
that'd
like
be horrible.
So.
Yeah.
And then the other one is like, you can live a long life.
And all of your descendants will do the same.
Oh, and all of my descendants will also do the same.
Yeah.
They will live a long, healthy life.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Healthy doesn't always mean happy.
Sure.
Because there's plenty of people with a lot of money who are living healthy lives, but like are spiritually and morally bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like, there's some people who are just naturally gifted with like, good health, and they're still living impoverished, miserable lives otherwise.
Right.
I do think with a lot of wisdom around money and a lot of good sort of habits, you can create health for yourself. But that also doesn't mean someone can't come up and murk you out of this world.
Exactly. 'Cause
they
immediately.
Yeah.
Or your children.
And this kicks in from now. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just be like, if I chose a long, healthy life, any sort of.
You
illness.
Basically have a card that works everywhere. You can take out cash, whatever. You just have the magical card. And never, you can never lose it. It'll just always be in your pocket.
Yeah. And the health one is like.
Immediate, yeah.
Immediate, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you choose?
Of course, the gut reaction is like, oh my God, money, money, money. But honestly, I just don't believe that I don't believe that my descendants will be good people.
Whoa, what?
I think that that amount of money, that just constant access, I cannot guarantee that like my children and children's children will not turn out to just be absolutely horrible people. And it sucks. It really, really sucks. But like, I grew up with not a whole bunch of money. My kid does not remember now, but she will remember from now until whenever. How do I keep someone humble and willing and wanting to give back? And even if, let's say, I get lucky and my one kid now gets it, her kids. I fear that constant and consistent access to money where you never have to do anything ever but just consume and consume and consume.
You still have to manage your life.
Sure.
You still have to manage your life.
Of course, absolutely.
The constant access to money doesn't mean you're going to be happy.
No, I know.
It doesn't mean you're going to be fulfilled.
No, I know. I know.
You know.
But again, I see the way money and how these, you know, CEOs and billionaires or whatever just live and exist. And I just don't know if, like, my family could stay away from that type of ideology, you know?
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is around people's relationship to money.
Of course.
And whether or not you instill that relationship to money correctly.
Right. And so that's what I'm saying. I personally think I do a decent job with my immediate kids.
Yeah.
After that, the guarantee is lost, I feel.
I think I would try to set up a structure that would live beyond me.
Of course.
Like, you know, and not in a structure in that, like, I just pass down morals to, like, I mean, like, a school.
I mean,
I would try to, like a school that they, because, like, at what age do they get access to this? Because they can't have access to it when they're babies.
That's probably when they're 18.
18? Yeah. So I think I would.
Like, when they turn 18, if they make it to 18, because they might get killed.
You know what you could, and this is going to seem like a lot. You could set up a system by which every person before the age of 18 has to pass a certain test, or else they get murked out of here.
Whoa, you're gonna kill them?
That's crazy. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things. Like if all of a sudden I realize this child is a sociopath.
I don't know, man.
I have somehow turned this into a dark would you rather.
This got real
but
dark.
Like,
holy shit.
Like, you could, like, if you're raising, like, a sociopath and you're like, I can't give this person access to money.
And they just get murdered.
Yeah.
see how money has changed us already? Actually, yeah, I'm going to take health. I see. We've already... The darkness has consumed us. The same thing
can happen. Like, what if you realize that this person is going to be a horrible person?
What do you mean?
Like, they're going to go out and commit mass murders.
I mean, I'm just hoping. I feel like there's less likelihood chance of someone turning out like an absolute insane person, just, you know, like, versus the money changing people. I see, we're already talking about killing niggas. I think I would rather, if I know for a fact my kid for sure is going to live a long life and die, you know, happily in their sleep.
And their kids are going to live long lives. Right. I mean, but that doesn't mean that their life is going to be happy.
I know that. But I just, I would hope that we just can work on those values versus money corrupting it. I gotta take the health.
I think I would take the money and just, like, come up with...
Good fucking luck. Well, the Henrys are going to rule the world. Oh my god.
I think I would invest money and, like, coming up with, like, a really good educational plan that everybody in the family has to go through.
Right.
Like,
they don't pass a test. And how do you know that they just won't alter the test when you're gone?
Because I will hire a whole thing. Money will come from my account as well.
And then when you die, it don't matter. It comes from their account. They can have their own account,
but then it will come from my account.
Once you're gone, mm-mm. The hell you have unleashed on
me. I feel like I'm smart enough to come up with something.
I think you would do a really good job. You would try.
I think I would last about 4 or 5 generations of good people, and then, like, by the 6th or 7th, it's probably going to get real murky.
Right. So, I'd rather not risk that. I'd rather just say,
the healthy ones can also come.
That's crazy, bro. But the thing is, like, at least with the money, it's like, oh my god, like, we know this. Everyone would just be like, wow.
DeFantastic's
family just always lives long.
I think this is, like, to put it in perspective, we're asking the question is, who is the morally better person, Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Is he?
I think so.
I don't know.
Batman be like, I'm not gonna kill you, and bust your neck wide open. So now I'm good, bro.
But he does all the dirty work that Superman doesn't have to do.
I just feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel like, of the two, now I like Batman more as an individual, as a, whatever. But, I mean, I think who has, like, just a better soul, I think, could be Superman.
I know there's people out there listening, like, Batman is much better than Superman.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we could argue about this all day.
I know. I think that's a good question. Like, who is a more... Yeah. You know, we need to get Arthur in here.
Yeah. We need Arthur back in general. Maybe for Pride. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, who... let's put this on the debate, like...
Yes. Thing. Yeah, we'll put this on the debate. Well, anyways, we're going to get into some music. Hopefully all of this is kind of feel-good music. And we're actually starting off with Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz, of course.
The Gorillaz! Gorillaz!
Shut your bitch ass up.
Don't talk to me.
Oh, town, it's Motown. With your sound, you in the blink. Gonna bite the dust, can't fight with us. With your sound, you kill the ink. So don't stop, get it until you chair the head. Watch the way I navigate.
court and I'm troubled. Last week fucked around and got a triple double. Freaking niggas every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Today ain't go by good, but I can't be that mad. The other day I ran through a dub, so life can't be that bad. Damn, look how time fly, feel like yesterday when I fought in class. Every nigga hit me and I ain't hit back, my pops would've beat my ass. My first time running them cracks, I damn near kissed the curb when I almost crashed. I had to slow down, it's a Sequoia truck, I ain't know it can go that fast. He ain't make it inside that room and he already snitched, I ain't know niggas tow that fast. I remember the times we ain't had shit, damn right, I'ma show my ass. Damn, hold on, let it breathe. I ain't seen a nigga post picture with all the racks since we left COVID-19. He never fought with a nigga like me, made us a buffet all you can eat. Made us a pack your bags and get on the flight, you'll be back home in a week. I don't care how much they offer, nigga, I never go paint my nails. Residue still stuck in between my fingers, I'm putting up over the scale. Bro ain't fed, he still got clientele, he selling strips out of his cell. Talk your shit, yeah. Today ain't go by good, but I can't be that mad. The other day I ran through a dub, so life can't be that bad. Damn, look how time fly, feel like yesterday when I fought in class. If a nigga hit me and I ain't hit back, my pops would've beat my ass. My first time running them cracks, I damn near kissed the curb when I almost crashed. I had to slow down, it's a Sequoia truck, I ain't know it can go that fast. He ain't make it inside that room and he already snitched, I ain't know niggas tow that fast. I remember the times we ain't had shit, damn right, I'ma show my ass.
Seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you miss me. While I'm alone and blue as can be, dream a little dream of me.
Stars fading, but I linger on, dear.
Oh, how you linger on.
Still craving your kiss.
How you crave my kiss.
Now I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just sing this.
Give me a little kiss. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind you. Put in your dreams whatever they be. Dream a little dream of me.
Buzz, 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 buzz. Fading, but I linger on, dear. Still craving your kiss.
Don't did it, don't did do for people. Yeah,
yeah. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear. Just saying this.
Sweet dreams.
Dreaming.
Till something's fine, you keep dreaming.
Gotta keep dreaming.
Leave the worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, you've gotta make me a promise. Oh, yeah. Promise to me.
Dream a little dream of me. count on you. When that's not possible, tell me, can you ever restore?
'Cause I need somebody who will stand by me. Through the good times and bad times, he would always, always be right there. Sunny days, everybody loves them. Tell me, baby, can you stand the rain?
Love unconditional, I'm not asking just of you. Girl, to make it last, I'll do whatever needs to be done.
But I need somebody who will stand by me.
Yeah.
Everybody loves them.
And we're back with Black on Black on Black. You're here with D Fantastic and
DJ Queen.
Oh my god. you're hitting that note like you like it fucking stole some shit from you.
She's your queen to be. It's your queen.
So classic movie. That song was Saving Up by Dom Dolla, which Dom Dolla closed out Crossed this year, and that was probably one of the best sets I've seen in a long time. Holy shit, that was amazing. So I saw him perform that, play it, however you want to say with DJs, but yeah. Anyways, so good news, Sigur Rædju. Sorry, that's a Tim.
What'd you say?
That's a Tim and Eric reference. People won't get that. Let's start off with some good news. So here's a segment: women doing bomb ass shit.
Women doing bomb.
Mariska Hargitay's ends the backlog campaign, achieves rape kit reform in all 50 states, D.C., and Puerto Rico.
Hey.
So Mariska's had a campaign called End the Backlog, which has now reached a major milestone. All 50 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico have now enacted at least one form of rape kit reform. Maine became the final state to do so after Governor Janet Mills approved funding for a statewide rape kit inventory and tracking system. Thank God, bro. What the hell? Led by Hargitay's Joyful Heart Foundation since 2010, the campaign created the, quote, six pillars of rape kit reform, a survivor-centered framework focused on mandatory testing, tracking systems, survivor notification rights, and dedicated funding. Inspired by her role as Olivia Benson on Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Hargitay founded the organization to improve responses to sexual assault, domestic violence, and child abuse. In a statement, Hargitay called the achievement a, quote, watershed moment, crediting survivors, advocates, and lawmakers for pushing systemic change and emphasizing that every survivor deserves accountability, transparency, and dignity. You know what? And I'm so glad this happened. You know what makes you fucking frustrated about this? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like rapists who get away with it once are gonna do it again.
Yeah, they are.
And it's like, if you would take care of these fucking backlogs, you know how many of them could just be behind bars?
Yeah.
Like, immediately?
Yeah.
You know, it's astounding. It is astounding just the lack of care when it comes to, like, survivors of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. You know?
Fucking yeah.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah, bro. The idea that, like, I mean, it kind of makes common sense that if you get away with rape once, why wouldn't you try it again?
Why wouldn't you stop it again? Yeah.
If you had no consequences from it, no social consequences, no physical consequences, yep. What is there to deter that behavior?
Right.
Otherwise, and so it is astounding how many serial rapists there are.
Yeah.
You know,
I guarantee you there's so many, and we will not find out until this shit gets fucking taken care of.
Yeah, I think it's if disgusting. These crimes were primarily, and I'm using primarily as on purpose, committed against men, and it's not to say that men don't get raped, they absolutely do.
Absolutely,
100%. They absolutely do. But 100%. If this was a crime that primarily happened to the male population and didn't happen to the woman population, we would see such hard consequences and reform for it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. Another thing, this is fun. Mom takes action after learning about proposed data center just 12 miles from home. Days later, company gives up. So Jane Black, a mother from De Pere, has become a passionate cleaner activist because of her children's health struggles. Her daughter Erin has multiple sclerosis and her son Sam has asthma, which motivated Black to advocate for cleaner air and renewable energy through Mom's Clean Air Force. Black says her activism began after learning her son's asthma was linked to environmental factors, but her daughter's vulnerability during the COVID-19 pandemic intensified her commitment. A former pre-K teacher and the 2025 winner of Miss Elemental USA, she now uses both advocacy and public platforms to promote environmental awareness. So, Black recently helped organize opposition to a proposed data center project by Cloverfield Infrastructure in Greenleaf, citing concerns about fossil fuel use, pollution, and impacts on farmland and community health. She created a Facebook group that quickly grew to 2,000 members, helping mobilize local resistance. Days later, Cloverfield withdrew its proposal due to lack of local support. Mm. Black says the experience showed how powerful community organizing can be, especially when driven by personal stories. She hopes her activism encourages others to take small actions, such as signing petitions, attending meetings, or voting, to push for cleaner air and healthy communities. So, yeah, I love that. Mm. I'm really happy about that. You know?
Yeah, we don't realize the importance of clean air until you don't have it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it honestly reminds me of, what was that movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in? Total Recall?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they were selling air on Mars, bro. Right. And, like, it was like anyone who got exposed to the air on Mars was, like, transformed. That movie is crazy.
That is a crazy movie.
Yo, I watched that for the first time, like, a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's crazy, right? I never watch it.
The effects in that movie are wild.
I know. I honestly miss practical special effects. They're so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Wild. Also, the amount of one-liners that Arnold Schwarzenegger had in that line. Of course. It's incredible.
Because at that time, they needed him for those one-liners.
Yeah,
you know?
Bro.
Because back in the day, memes were just kind of vocal. Yeah.
They happen right there.
They happen right there. Yeah, they were on the internet. Right, like, you would say a one-liner, and that's a meme.
And it was like, they were really taking a chance on whether or not it was going to land.
Exactly.
The hope was, because it was centered right on, and then it was just that one line.
Like, if you've ever heard someone say, get to the chopper, that's a meme.
Get to the chopper.
It's essentially a meme, you know?
But this is really, really cool.
It's exciting because it just goes to show that, I mean, if we just do a little bit, if we just get a little excited about stuff, we can just honestly make a difference, you know?
Yeah.
And I want people to have hope. Like, we can't do this, y'all. We really can't fight back, you know?
Yeah. It would be so nice if government could get on this side, you know? Because, you know, like, if we're in Florida is rolling back DEI and environmental protections.
Yep.
Like, it's honestly,
it's so bad, it feels almost demonic, you know?
Yeah.
Like it seems so evil.
Yeah.
Like, cartoonishly.
Yeah, I'll say cartoonishly,
you know? Don't hire any black people, and we're going to poison your water. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, could you imagine seeing that in a movie? Like a guy is like, and you know what? I'm going to make sure that their children can't breathe, and we will never hire anyone with skin darker than a tan. Maha! Like, you know how absurd that would be? You'd be like, this is ridiculous. This is too over the top.
Yeah, here we are in real life.
And yet here we are in real life. With legislators, like, actually doing this. So, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, I guess. Speaking of truth, our next section is Fuck Yeah Science, bitch!
Fuck yeah, science!
Bitch! Eating eggs 5 times a week was linked to a 27% lower Alzheimer's risk in a study of nearly 40,000 adults.
I'm killing it.
Right?
I'm killing it.
Yeah, you're probably, your egg story on Bart made me want to vomit.
Excuse you!
It's probably one of the most
disgusting.
My bad. We'll move past that. A major new study from Loma Linda University suggests that regularly eating eggs may significantly lower the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. Researchers followed nearly 40,000 adults aged 65 and older over 15 years and found that people who ate eggs 5 or more times per week